Want to earn a little extra? Introducing Target Red. Join for free and earn 1% every time you shop to redeem at Target later. Learn about more benefits at target.com/red. Some restrictions apply. 1% cannot be earned with 5% red card savings.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's episode one, by the way, so this is kind of our inaugural episode, was going to be about hoaxes and hoaxers that are out there. Now, Paul, I know you probably have some interesting feelings, as do I, on hoaxers and the hoaxes that they pull off. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think for some of them, they try to make money off of them, and others, there's no upshot to any of it, and I really don't know why they do it. Beyond that, I don't really see a point. It takes time for people to do stuff. And, if you've got time to come up with stuff that ain't going to make you any money or fame or anything that goes along with it, find something else to do.
One of the things that I've seen is people are really actually making a lot of money off of hoaxes. Without naming any names, there are some YouTube channels that are out there that are some of the largest YouTube channels for this kind of thing. When I say this kind of thing, I mean ufology. They have been known to pull off some hoaxes.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff on there that claims to be this, that, or something else, and it ends up being nothing at all. Nothing more than just clickbait. I guess it's all right to be for entertainment for people, but you really can't believe what you see on there.
Right. I think that's what a lot of people have to take it at, is they have to take these hoaxes like that as just that. They have to take them as entertainment, because anytime you get people out there, they're trying to, I guess, present themselves to people as being a true investigator or ufologist, whatever you want to call it. It's one of those things that people, when they see these hoaxes, and you have somebody who has a very, very popular channel on YouTube, and people go to those channels and they watch these videos, and right away they just soak everything in. They think, oh, this is the real deal. Even though there are some great people that are out there that actually work on YouTube. I can think of a few of them off the top of my head. Alien Addict is a person with a YouTube channel who does a lot of debunking, and I think he does a great job. And of course, probably the most famous debunker out there right now is Captain Disillusion. Captain Disillusion uses a lot of Hollywood special effects in the things that he does. He really has, I guess you could say, an entertaining debunking show that is actually very enjoyable to watch on YouTube.
Yeah, some of it is, but to me, if you're going to do hoaxes, do hoaxes of stuff that doesn't really have anything to do with UFOs or Bigfoot or any of that kind of stuff, because then all that does is make things difficult for people that are trying to find out the truth about things.
Exactly.
And I do understand that the government puts a lot of stuff out there like that too, but I think for a lot of that, if you're not going to really make any serious money off of it, and all you're doing is just putting stuff out there to be silly or to confuse other people. Nah, I'm not big on that. I'm not into
it. No, me either. I think that in order to be a proper ufologist or an investigator, whatever you want to call yourself, I think that one of the things that we have to be able to do is we have to be able to take a look at everything. And when we are presented with evidence that, hey, this video doesn't look right, or this UFO doesn't quite fit into the scene, there's a lot of trickery and things like that that you and I have discussed several times, different things that have happened. And we've said, you know, that just doesn't quite look right. For instance, the Dome of the Rock, when that first came out, I have to admit, with it being from four different angles showing the exact same thing, I was like, wow, this is actually kind of impressive, but let's wait and see. Now, you, on the other hand, you weren't fooled by it at all, were you?
No, not one bit. Not one bit.
And you brought up a very good point as to why you didn't believe that.
Well, because if there was anything seen hovering over that, I don't think it wouldn't have had a whole lot of time to be sitting there like it was.
Right. That area of the world is not exactly at peace all of the time. So
no,
anything
and,
flying
and
into that airspace.
No, they don't take kindly to anything involving that place that shouldn't be involving that place. So they're very in control of who even enters the structure and who does what there. I just don't think that anything over the top of that is going to be sitting there peacefully, I don't think.
Right. It's not going to be there for any length of time at all.
No. And I never believed it. I would think that if someplace was going to be like that, it would have been someplace other than that and not there. I didn't buy it from the first I seen it, and I still never buy it the way I see
right.
it. So
that was actually some very good debunking work. I'm not sure who the actual debunker was on that. But it was somebody who was able to take it more or less, and forgive me, I don't know anything about the software that's used. I'm just going to pull out Adobe, say it was Adobe After Effects. They were able to take a look at it in Adobe After Effects, and they were able to analyze the shaking of the camera, which when I first saw it from all four different angles, they all had the shaking. I thought that type of image would have that. It would have a shaking from a person holding the camera, trying to be able to study on this object and keep it within their viewfinder and everything else. However, whenever it was analyzed in Adobe, he noticed that the object stayed within a very small pattern, which meant that the shaking was actually artificially added to it. And he was able to draw a very small circle around the object. One of the things he brought up was he said, notice how the object never leaves that circle. And he was absolutely right. It never left that circle because the shaking was actually artificially added.
Right. Yeah. Because when you look at it close, you can see that. Who's going to have four cameras set up to get four different views?
Well, supposedly it was four different tourists who took the images of this, and then all four of them got together and then they released their video to the media, which I have to admit, even the media was going nuts over it. The first time I watched it was on CNN. It
just doesn't work. Doesn't work for me at all.
One of the things that really bothers me too are people who were once firm believers in everything to do, whether it's ufology, cryptids, or anything paranormal, basically. And all of a sudden now they've turned. And it drives me insane, really. And one of the people I can think of off the top of my head is actually Joe Rogan. Now, I don't have anything against Joe Rogan. I know he's got a very popular podcast. He's all over the UFC and everything else. But some of the things that Joe Rogan has said in the past, it really kind of bothers me. You know, this is a guy that was once a moon landing denier. And now all of a sudden he's been saying a lot of different things. And I actually have a couple of clips that I'm going to play. If we can get our audio to actually work correctly on here, I'm going to play one clip where he talks about UFO conferences.
Christ, with UFO conferences. You guys don't have anything. If you had something, it'd be, what are you going to get together in a fucking Marriott somewhere and show some blurry picture of some fucking hubcap that someone chucked up into the air? Like, there's nothing. Everything that they look at falls apart under scrutiny.
That's one of them right there, you know, where he's blatantly talking about ufologist, and he's just saying that, hey, everything that you guys have basically doesn't mean anything. He went on even during the same interview. The interview, I believe, was episode 1100 with Liz Fair as his guest in studio. And here's a clip right here where he talks about military personnel.
Here's the thing about military. Anybody who's in the military is a person. If you get 100 people together, one of them's out of their fucking mind. If you get a million people, you've got a shit ton of people that are out of their fucking mind that are running around that want extra attention. One of the best ways to say one of the best ways to get extra attention is to say you've had some extraordinary experience that separates you from the pack. It's one of the main points of delusion that people that are really out of their fucking mind will want to point to.
That to me is just amazing that here you have somebody who was once a total moon landing denier. He was real big into UFOs and aliens. And now all of a sudden, this is his attitude that he's come out with. And I know a lot of people, Eddie Bravo as well, who is actually one of Joe Rogan's best friends. And Eddie Bravo says, no, the government got to it. That's what made him change everything. The government basically said, look, you want your podcast to keep going in that, you're going to have to quit talking about aliens.
Well, it could be. As far as him believing or not believing or what he has to say, he's actually right. There is no hard evidence out there to prove anything. So, you can't very well disprove what he says. So if he doesn't believe him, he doesn't believe him. And there certainly isn't any evidence out there to, try to persuade him to believe.
The evidence which has been presented has been given, I guess you could say, a double standard. For instance, the Aurora crash, where we've been able to recover the metal. The metal, of course, appears to be a very common metal today. And, of course, science just writes everything off. And they say, well, it was mainly aluminum. So, obviously, it's a common element found on Earth. We're not even going to consider this to be a real deal.
Right. But for some people, until something lands on the White House lawn, people aren't going to believe. And, if you don't want to until you see it, okay, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. You do what you do in your life, and I do what I do in mine. And, if I want to believe in ghosts and unicorns and stuff like that, well, that's my, opinion and decision to do that. And if you don't want to, well, I'm certainly not going to try to persuade you to believe it. For some people, it's going to take a little green man getting down the ramp of a ship on the White House lawn. And until that day, you'll never get them to believe.
Neil deGrasse Tyson once said it was very similar to that. And I think I actually have a clip of it here. I'm going to play real quick.
The evidence is so paltry for aliens to visit Earth. I have no further interest. Let other people who care go ahead. And then when you finally find some aliens, bring them into Times Square. No, there are too many weird people.
You
would not stand out in Times
Square.
And try not to come back during Comic-Con when the alien would just blend in. Go to the county fair or something where there's a uniformity of who's there. I'm glad the Pentagon is looking at this, because if it posed a threat, I want them on top of it right away. And otherwise, the program is closed down. Yeah. And it said, okay, not a threat.
Now, that was something I think was interesting as far as him being an astrophysicist or a scientist of any type, is saying that, well, the program was closed down. And that's something I have a really hard time with, because how many times do we have to prove that these programs are not shut down?
Well, I think what he was talking about there was Blue Book, and Blue Book has allegedly been closed down since 69, but there really is nothing that they can, that they can get from any of that.
Well, actually, he was talking about the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, which just last year was what the Pentagon finally had to come out and reveal that they had given $22 million of black budget to. Basically what it was, they I guess you could say, morning news program, they showed a video to Neil deGrasse Tyson of, I believe the one that they showed him was either the gimbal video or the Tic Tac video that was released by the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, which of course is Tom DeLonge's group. But they showed that video to him, and that was his response. Now, I did take a little bit of liberty of editing the interview down a little bit to the gist of what Neil deGrasse Tyson was trying to say. But that's the thing about it. He was saying, well, there was nothing there. The government closed it down. Now, this is a very short list of government programs that are similar to the Advanced Aviation Identification Program that the government has said, oh, no, we've shut down that program. And years later, of course, we find out they have another program, such as we start out Project Sign, Project Grudge, Project Blue Book, the Advanced Aviation Aerial Threat Identification Program. The government has these programs, and the government comes back and they say, oh, no, we have no programs investigating UFOs. And then someone proves them wrong, and then people start to wake up a little bit more. To me, the whole idea of the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, as far as them closing that down, there is no way in hell they closed that down. The United States government has been playing one of those shell games, you know, that you go to the amusement park or county fair, whatever, and you've got the guy with the little ball under the shells, and he says, I'm going to put the ball under one cup. You follow it and tell me which cup has got the ball under it. And of course, hardly anybody ever gets it. And that's exactly what the program is doing. The whole idea of Area 51 and Area 52, that I believe that the government finally acknowledged the existence of Area 51 only because they moved all of the shit out of there to somewhere else, which is now, you know, collectively known as Area 52, wherever the hell it might be. But that's what I think has happened here with this program, is I think every few years simply shifts the program to a different area, maybe a different department, whatever. And then they come out and they tell the public, oh yeah, this last time around with the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, they came out and said, oh yeah, we spent $22 million on it. They closed that down in 2012. Bullshit. If they closed it down in 2012, that means in 2011, they moved the program somewhere else and they gave it a different name. That's all it is to me.
Right. They're never going to, you know, come out and say anything exactly what they've learned or what they haven't.
No, exactly. They won't. DeGrasse Tyson said, hey, they're waiting for somebody to bring an alien to Times Square. That's what everybody's waiting to see. But it's never going to happen like that. It's going to happen slowly. And I'm a firm believer that our government is already trying to condition us. And I believe it actually goes beyond the government. I believe that the Catholic Church is even trying to condition the people for it. And I think sooner or later, there's going to be some type of an announcement, some type of disclosure. But how that happens is really going to be beyond me as to, I guess you could say, how it's all going to come about, play out.
Yeah, there's no telling how it will. And it'll probably be, you know, something very unsuspected or, you know, something that people won't be ready for or whatever. But
right.
You know, but not afraid of. But, you know, it'll be just a, you know, some sort of a downplaying of something when they do decide to do it. But
right. Well, exactly. You know, you've had debunking going on since, God, the, what, 66, I believe it was. They've been doing it now for so long, and people, it was on March 25th, 1966, which is actually a pretty easy number for me to remember since it's the day after my birthday, when Dr. J. Allen Hynek was called to Dexter Township in Michigan. He was called there to investigate, and he was under pressure for an explanation. He told reporters at a press conference on March 25th that the sightings were simply mistaken observances of the moon and stars, and the Dexter UFO was just swamp gas. Hynek was often quoted using the explanations, swamp gas, mass hallucinations, temperature inversions, and or conventional aircraft. When you have somebody who is prominent like that, when you have somebody who is a doctor, it to me, it's amazing how this works, because if you're on the side of the government and you have the title of doctor, everybody believes you. But if you're on the opposite side of that, you're somebody like Stanton Friedman, who is also a physicist. And people are going to kind of blow it off. What does he know? Because he's somebody who studies UFOs. Well, what the hell is the difference? You got one guy sitting here trying to explain a UFO as swamp gas. You've got another man who is legitimately trying to prove that the government has been hiding things by people and sending in numerous Freedom of Information requests. He gets nada from it.
Yeah. You won't get any information back. You know, the papers with all the redacted stuff
right
on there.
Yeah. I think he said in an interview one time, he was talking about some Freedom of Information paperwork that he received. He said literally every single page had one word on it that he could read, and everything else had been redacted out of it.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I've seen papers like that to where there was just nothing but black, you know, bars across the whole thing, and you know, it right. would have maybe a, you know, an address of this or that or something like that, but and now the only words it would have on there was to whom or something like that.
Yeah,
nothing
like that.
So yeah, the Freedom of Information Act, I guess it's good for some stuff, but you know, you're really not going to get much of anything out of it, you know. Really,
right.
You know.
And of course, here lately, we have the common theme for UFOs is to be ball lightning is something which I've called bullshit on since day one. Ball lightning is the new swamp gas, really. And I actually did a little bit of research, and from the American Physical Society, and anybody who's interested in this, I will post a link, the notes of the podcast. I'll put it in there, and I'll also put it on our website. One of the very first sentences of this is something that just kind of blows the whole thing out of the water. And let me read it here real quick. Ball lightning has been one of the most mysterious natural phenomena for centuries, partly because it is so rare and transient, and therefore hard to investigate. Okay, what part of rare are these people talking about? Because if they're saying it's rare, that ball lightning is a phenomenon, really, and I'm sure it happens a hell of a lot less, but they're trying to say all of these mysterious lights now are ball lightning. Bullshit.
Yeah,
I gotta call
that
bullshit
either.
On that.
I mean, ball lightning is real. It just doesn't,
sure.
You know, it's just something that just doesn't happen all that much. And even if it does, people don't see it.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
rare, and it happens so quickly when it does happen.
Right.
People don't exactly capture this a whole lot on video and stuff like that.
Well, you can't get it on video because you'll never be ready to get
right.
it. And when
yeah,
it does
you,
happen,
you would,
it's going to be over before it started. So, you know.
Right. Right.
I mean, unless it lands on the ground right next to you, you're probably not going to, you know.
I do believe there has been some footage of ball lightning, which has been caught. But the average person isn't going to be able to do it. You know, these are storm chasers and stuff
right.
like that to go out with cameras and everything else. They're going to catch us. It's not going to be, you know, me with my Nikon camera going out and catching it.
It's not be that easy.
No. And the whole writing UFOs off to ball lightning, I think is absolutely horrendous.
I think ball lightning is possible. I don't think it's not UFOs, and it's not even UFO related.
Right. Yeah. It's two completely different things.
Right. And they're not the same. If the government wants to come out and say that's what it is, well, that's what it is.
The problem is we have a lot of misinformation, I guess you could say, within the UFO community. And the community, in a way, there are certain people within the community that do it themselves. You know, for instance, I mentioned earlier the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, headed up by Tom DeLong. You know, of course, he released three of those videos that had to do with what they call that, the ATAP program or whatever. Anyway, he released three of those, and the third video he dubbed Go Fast. And it was actually a rather interesting video. It's where a couple of pilots were chasing after a UFO. And he said, hey, this is new and exclusive to the Stars Academy of Arts and Science. And you're not going to find this anywhere else. And I'll come to find out it had been out on the internet for about 2 years at that point. So it was nothing new that the government released to him. Anytime somebody says, well, we're working with the government on this, it immediately sends up a red flag to me.
Yeah, you're not, because the government's not going to, you know, there was a time when the government did, when they were thinking of doing it, of getting stuff out, and no, nothing ever happens like that. The government doesn't work with anybody in the private sector. It just doesn't happen like that when it comes to UFOs.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, you know, and you know, of course, I'm not trying to call anybody out or anything like that that may or may not have hoax videos, but because I think a lot of it is actually done inadvertently. I think that a lot of people that come out with these videos and things like that, the information may end up being passed on to them, having the knowledge to look at everything and pass it along. You know, saying, no, sorry, I was able to debunk this. They, you know, right away, they're looking for the scoop on everything. And they try to get that information out on YouTube or wherever as fast as possible. I know a lot of people deal with the tabloids over in the UK. And of course, they send the information to them. Once the tabloids over there print the articles and that, or it comes out online, whichever way, these people get a ton of traffic to their websites. And I think a lot of times they just inadvertently do it. Now, some of them are actually very blatantly done, and they're obviously done by the people who post them. You know, I'm not saying that every instance is somebody posting something because they received a video from a friend of a friend or whatever. They just take it and they post it online as soon as they get it from a friend of a friend, and next thing you know, it turns out to be a big hoax. You know, some people are actually doing it themselves, and that's really what gives ufology a bad name, is when these people are out there and they start to get a name as a ufologist, and next thing you know, they're part of hoaxing. It just leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth.
Yeah, it does. But you know, if you're going to get involved in ufology, then you have no business doing anything trying to hoax anybody, because allegedly you're working with the same people trying to get to the bottom of all the information. And so if you're doing hoaxes, I got nothing for you.
Right.
Go waste somebody else's time. To me, doing a hoax is, I really don't see the point in it, but
yeah, I don't either.
People out there that have more time than what we have.
Yeah, that must be it. That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't understand how people have the time. I have zero experience doing that kind of stuff. It may be fairly easy to do, but it would probably take me hours, if not days, to figure out how to do something like that. And I certainly don't have the time to be able to do it. Just trying to get everything together for this episode this week was stressing out every moment of time that I had available.
No, I don't have time to sit and try to think, well, how can I fool the rest of the public? You know, I don't have that. I can't come up with that.
If you don't mind me saying, Paul, I think you're using the wrong verb, as Jack Nicholson said. It ain't
probably
fooling.
Yeah, probably, but you know, yeah, I don't understand why people do it, you know, or, you know, if they think it's funny for somebody to try to hoax UFOs and get people on a wild goose chase. But the thing is that there's been so many hoaxes in the past that, you know, people that have looked into UFOs and the stuff like that, they're not being fooled. I'm not being fooled by it. I can watch something and tell that it's been faked, or a picture that's been faked. I don't buy it. I've seen enough fakes now. Does it make me skeptical? No, but I don't believe what people are, you know, I don't believe everything people post on the internet.
Right. I would say a good 99 out of 100 times I can look at something and immediately say, nope, that's fake. One of the most viewed videos here lately has been the supposed UFO sitting on the ground where the alien comes walking across the field and he walks up onto his UFO and the UFO lifts off. And it was supposed to take place like in Russia or something like that. And I'm sitting here looking at it going, this has got to be some of the worst CGI I've ever seen.
Right. I mean, you look at stuff like that, you can tell. You can tell by the way things move and, you know, all the stuff like that.
Some of it is just downright horrible. And it's like, really? That's the best you got? You're going to take time to say that you've seen a UFO and you're going to try to fake the footage.
Right. Right.
People like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I don't know if he knows that, you know, of course, his idol growing up was always Carl Sagan. And I don't know if Neil deGrasse Tyson realizes that how big of a ufology nut that Carl Sagan was when he was much younger. When he was in college, I won't name any names, but there were certain ufologists who actually went to school with Carl Sagan. It's probably not that hard to figure out. I believe that they were actually roommates. Carl Sagan very much believed in the existence of extraterrestrials as well as them visiting Earth and everything. However, as he started to sort of gain popularity as a scientist and people started recognizing Carl Sagan, the scientist, he was more or less told, hey, you don't need to be talking about that anymore. And all of a sudden, he sort of did the same thing that Joe Rogan did. He come out and just sort of flipped on people and said, no, I really don't have any interest in this or anything else. I get it as the scientist. I really do. I can respect, I think, any scientist who says, it's not my cup of tea. I would rather focus on bringing the world into tomorrow. I can understand them saying that. But at the same time, I also see a lot of arrogance, you know, within science and everything. Like I said, to me, it's a damn shame that if you're a scientist for the government, you're the good guy. You get the book tours. You get to go around. You're on all of the daily talk shows and everything else talking about your new book and how you can teach people astrophysics while they're within their busy lives. And then you have other physicists who are on the opposite side who actually study UFOs, and they're not even given the time of day really by mainstream news. You know, of course, you know, you have people like Larry King that will have them, stuff like that, but it doesn't happen very often. They're certainly not on, not out on the morning news talk show program.
Right. Yeah, as far as Carl Sagan goes, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about him, but, you know, I know that there was times when he had said that, you know, it'd be great if we could just prove that there was life out there, and then there was other times that he wouldn't say stuff like that. So there's why he would say it or why he didn't, I don't know. But
well, to me, his book Contact was sort of his way of telling the world what he really believed. And I've always thought that about Carl Sagan was he was able to write it within a fictionalized universe, but sort of put his own thoughts and ideas and his own research into different aspects of that movie or the book itself. And then, of course, it was turned into a great movie. Actually, one of my all-time favorite movies, I think I would have to say. I know for a lot of people, it's a very slow-moving movie, and they say, nah, it just doesn't catch my interest. But to me, it has a very deep meaning.
Yeah, it was a decent film, but the rest of the end of it was kind of disappointing to me. But
right, yeah, but you know what? That's kind of the way it is. You know, it's one of those things. It happens to people. Nobody believes it. And one of my favorite quotes is from the movie, and I could be off on the time, just kind of paraphrasing this, but he was supposedly gone for, I think it was 15 hours. And whenever she got back, the one lady asked, well, how come her video recorder recorded 13 hours of static? And it fit in perfect with everything. And it gave her proof without actually giving proof. And I think that that's the way a lot of ufology is for a lot of people, is there is proof without proof. Whenever something happens to somebody, we could talk to Travis Walton right now, and I guarantee you Travis Walton would say, absolutely, I believe in aliens, because he has had that experience. You and I have had experiences, or we've been able to educate ourselves in such ways that we also understand that there's evidence without there actually being evidence.
To a point.
At least for me, you know, my personal experiences I have, of course, there's absolutely no evidence of any of it ever happening except what is in my mind. And I know what I saw, and I know the things that I saw. Luckily, I've had a couple of witnesses, but it does absolutely no good. There's nobody that's ever going to convince me otherwise of the things that I've seen. And I have had a number of instances. I know you and I have talked about before about actually having an episode about our experiences. I know you've had an experience. I think that would be a very good thing to do in the future, is to talk about that. You know, when I look at these things, the whole way of science, to me, science is kind of the new religion of the world, that people are following science sort of mindlessly. And when I look at somebody like Neil deGrasse Tyson, I immediately think of Albert Einstein, but I don't think about him in the same way that I think most people probably compare their minds and say, yeah, they're very similar people. But I don't think that at all. I think the only thing that they have in common is they're sort of the face of science. And I think that all of that really began with a person I consider to be the world's biggest fraud, and that's Thomas Edison. You know, back in the day when people wanted to look for guidance as far as technology, they went to Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was a great salesman. Absolutely. As far as being an inventor, no, the man was an idiot. But I think that anytime they saw Thomas Edison, they saw this great inventor. And then it simply moved on to Albert Einstein. And once Albert Einstein was gone, then you had Carl Sagan, and now you have Neil deGrasse Tyson, and of course, Bill Nye, the science guy. But the two faces of modern day science.
Yeah, to a point, you know. I mean, if science has to have a face, which I guess it does, you know, but
they're on this crusade now to make science cool. So, and don't get me wrong, science is absolutely right. You know, I hear some of the things like Neil deGrasse Tyson complaining that some schools still want to teach creationism. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You're going to sit here and you're going to say, no, they shouldn't be teaching creationism because creationism can't be proved. Really? What about the Big Bang? You can't prove that one. Yeah, you've got scientific evidence which leans that direction. However, it's not proven. It's the word theory. If you're going to look at something like that, go ahead, call creationism a theory. Sure, you could say creationism is a theory. We can't really prove it. But at the same time, so is the Big Bang. I wish that we were half as intelligent of a species as what we lend ourselves out to be. If people really want to see the truth, look at somebody like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm sure he's a great guy, incredibly intelligent, far more intelligent than I am.
And me as well.
Both of us put together.
But yeah, that would be more like it. Yeah.
If you really want to take a look at the direction they're trying to push people, Look at something that within autistic kids that is known as what parroting is. You say something, the autistic child is completely nonverbal, and all of a sudden they just repeated what you just said. And if you take a look at people like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye, they both do that. If you take a look at, especially Neil deGrasse Tyson, he will come up with a catchphrase and he stays with it. I mean, he just repeats himself every single interview after that. All of a sudden, that's become his new thing for that. And I remember when he was talking about Andy Weir's The Martian, when he saw the movie, he said, The Martian is probably the first science fiction movie without fiction. And he said that repeatedly in so many interviews that it wasn't even funny. And it's like, okay, we get the point the first time, Neil.
Yeah. I haven't actually seen that movie, so I don't really know. But
it's actually a very good movie. If you get a chance to see it, I highly recommend it. He's actually very correct in saying that. It's a science fiction movie without fiction. And it's very hard to explain that until you've seen the movie and then you go, aha, now I get it. I think a lot of the problem out there is it's getting really difficult to distinguish the right from the wrong when it comes to hoping all the way around. I think that a lot of people are, like I said earlier, are taking these YouTubers and that at sort of face value. If
right.
they're subscribed to it, if they're just saying, okay, well, whatever it is going to be the absolute truth, and I can always rely upon them for everything. And that's definitely not the case. I'm sure as we go further along with the podcast, people are going to be taking a look at it and saying, hey, this wasn't right. Whatever you guys said, you know, you made a mistake in this. That's fine. Tell us that.
Yeah,
I've got
call
us out on it. I've got no problem whatsoever. I don't care if it's the podcast or if we make a video about something. If you can debunk it or if you can say, hey, no, you guys are wrong. Yeah, call us out on it. I got no problem at all mentioning in an upcoming podcast that, hey, we made a mistake in, you know, episode one. I've got no problem whatsoever with that. And same thing, if we have a video, I'll make a follow-up video to it saying, hey, you know, I'm sorry, we made a mistake in this other one. Here's the truth. Now let's just pick up and go on. And the big thing I think that I see is this huge disconnect between researchers and debunkers. I think debunkers go out, and I think they have all the best of intentions in the world. I think that they mean well. They want to prove as much as what the researchers do. I think a lot of them, I know, like I said earlier, Alien Addict is one. He's a big-time believer in it. And his thing is he doesn't want this, all of these, you know, misleading videos and that out there. That's why he does what he does. And hey, I stand up and I salute the man for doing that. I think
it's
awesome.
Oh yeah, so do I. I don't like all the ideas of all these phony videos being out there either. It doesn't do the whole subject any service whatsoever.
None at all. If you are a debunker and you pick up on something that we pass along, I don't care if we post a video on YouTube or DTube or wherever, and we have this video out there, and if you go out and you see it and you come back at us and you say, hey, no, I can debunk this, great, go ahead and do it. But at the same time, just don't come at us with swamp gas shit. You know, don't tell us it's ball lightning or any crap like that. If it's ball lightning, you better damn well be able to prove it's ball lightning and not something which is unexplainable. You better have more data than just your thoughts of, hey, this is ball lightning. Granted, some of it is ball lightning. I have absolutely no doubt that sooner or later, but I'm willing to bet in all of the video footage that has ever been captured out of the hundreds, if not thousands, of ball lightning cases that have been misidentified supposedly as a UFO, I'm willing to bet that 1, maybe 2% of all of those videos are actually ball lightning.
Oh, and I bet you they're even less than that.
And probably. Like I say, guys, I am not an Adobe expert. I even know what software to use to be able to manipulate video. So if somebody out there has got the knowledge to be able to debunk it and they've got the skill set to be able to do it, please do. And please help us weed through the shit that is out there, because there is a lot of it.
Yeah, there's probably more illegitimate stuff than there is legitimate stuff out there.
Right. Nick Pope once said that about 95% of all reported sightings can be explained. However, it's the other 5% that cannot be explained that makes this so interesting. I'm not looking at everything to be factual. In other words, I'm not saying that everything we produce is going to be factual. We're going to try to get it as right as much as possible. But there's going to be some things that, you know, we may end up doing the same thing where somebody passes us a bogus video. We look at it and say, damn, that looks pretty good. But I will guarantee you, anytime we have a video like that, we're going to put it out there and say, okay, debunkers, go. Show us. If you can come up with something, like I say, just don't come at us with swamp gas or ball lightning type shit. And
well,
we're good.
You know, if somebody sends us something, or if we happen to have somebody else on here, we're not here to say if it's real or if it's not real so much, but let other people determine for themselves what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe.
Exactly.
Some stories sound far-fetched, some don't. It's hard to tell which ones do. And when it comes to UFOs, let's face it, there's very little that is factual.
Right.
Because
about 5% at most.
Because there isn't no hard evidence. Most people that seen something, they didn't get video of it. You know, they didn't even get a picture of it. So you can't say what they saw and what they didn't see. But they can't very well prove to the rest of the world that this is what they saw. So
right. And I'm actually a very good example of that. One of the sightings I had, I stood there and I watched it fly right over the top of my head. And I had my cell phone in my pocket. Didn't even think about, hey, I need to pull out my cell phone and get this on video. I literally just stood there in awe. There was no other thought, really. Other than sitting there looking at this thing going right over the top of me. Afterwards, somebody said, well, did you get any video of it or take a picture? And I was like, no. I felt like an ass. That should be my first reaction. Pull out the video camera. But I was literally awestruck by it.
There's still the human element to it. So you don't always do what in a perfect world, what you would do.
Right.
If you've seen it, nobody knows how they're going to react in certain situations.
Right.
Until they're put in that situation, and then they'll find out.
Right, exactly. And going back to J. Allen Hynek, what he did in 1966, I think that was really about the last time that the mainstream media took everything seriously when it comes to UFOs. And I think when he come out with his swamp gas explanation, it really left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, and nobody wanted to hear about it anymore. They may have thought, well, the claim of the UFO was ridiculous to begin with, but then his explanation of it was just as ridiculous, in fact, even more ridiculous.
Even more, right.
Why should we even bother with this? That's sort of the way it is. And it's actually kind of crazy. I've been thinking about it a lot lately, and I was looking at, we mentioned earlier, a lot of these guys send stuff over to the tabloids. And there's a certain degree of stigma with things that go on in the tabloids and stuff like that. In fact, there was a great scene in Men in Black, and I'm actually going to play a clip of it here right now.
These are the hot sheets. Best investigator reporting on the planet.
Go ahead, read the New York Times if you want to. They get lucky sometimes. Thanks, Manny.
Then I believe you're looking for tips in the supermarket tabloids.
Not looking for. Found.
That was always one of my favorite scenes, was Tommy Lee Jones looking through the tabloids for aliens.
Well, how far-fetched is that?
I'm going to bring up something right now that a lot of people may not necessarily remember. And it's a true story that happened on July 23rd, 1973. And it happened to Ozark Airlines Flight 809. It crashed on approach in St. Louis, where you're at. It was on approach to Lambert Airport, and 38 passengers ended up dying, and six survived. My grandfather, Henry Porter, was the person who saved those six passengers. And the only newspaper, and when I say the only newspaper, I really mean that. The only newspaper to get every aspect of the story correct was the fucking National Enquirer. Every newspaper in St. Louis, the New York Times, got it wrong. So many other newspapers, and my grandfather kept all of these newspaper clippings. You know, he was made Citizen of the Year in St. Louis for saving those people. He wanted to keep the memorabilia. So he had all of these newspaper clippings. A lot of the passengers' families sent him letters and things like that. But it was just always amazing to me that the only newspaper that got the entire story correct was the National Enquirer.
Well, looking at the newspaper we have now, that wouldn't be too surprising. But
the newspapers.
But back then, we did have two newspapers, and they still didn't get it right. You know?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, they had the Post-Dispatch and the Globe-Democrat, I believe. And in fact, the Globe-Democrat ran pretty much the same article that the Post-Dispatch did. And they both had the whole story wrong. And it would just really blows my mind when I take a look at that. And I say, holy shit, that the National Enquirer had it right. It kind of set me into this motion of kind of that scene from MIB is how much information do they have that is correct? And how is it that, granted, they run these crazy-ass stories sometimes?
And oh, yeah.
There again, it's kind of like the UFO phenomena. 95% of what you read in those papers is complete shit. And the other 5% may actually hold some merit, but the problem is sorting out which is which. It's the exact same thing with ufology anymore because of all of these hoaxes. Let me ask you something. Do you think that there's ever going to be an end to the faking of the UFOs, or do you think we'll ever get past the swamp gas or ball lightning crap?
Oh, eventually, but not in our lifetime.
That's not a good answer. Lifetime. It's been going on since before our lifetime. So
yeah, so it's going to go on way past our way past what we're ever going to see. You'll never get the end of it. That's for sure. I think at some point or another, it'll all go away eventually with, you know, the way things are handled. But
do you think it's going to require something like a UFO setting down on the White House lawn?
It's going to take something that's pretty undeniable and seen by hundreds or thousands of people.
Even that, though, I think is, you know, because of how far everything has come as far as the media blowing things off. I take a look at the Phoenix Lights. I forgot exactly how many people it was that witnessed that, but there were hundreds of thousands that witnessed that.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell us flares. Bullshit. Cannot
No, they weren't flares.
No.
They weren't flares.
Those are some damn good aerial flares, man. You know,
no.
One of the other things that cracked me up, you know, talking about the videos that Tom DeLong had put out there, was there was actually a debunker who went out and said, I think I can recreate this video that was taken, I believe it was from an F-18. He said, oh, yeah, I can recreate that. Well, they... You know, of course, he didn't have an F-18 to go flying around in, but they did put it, everything in thermal exactly the same way it was in the cockpit of the plane. Sure enough, he was able to recreate it. The only problem was he used a drone to do it. And everybody said, okay, yeah, that's debunked. Well, no, I'm sorry, it's not. Because if I'm not mistaken, I believe that video come from the year 2004. Now, how many drones do you think private citizens are going to have? How fast do you think a drone is going to travel? He didn't prove anything. Yes, he was able to prove that he could do the same aerial maneuvers. But trying to put two pieces together from two different time periods should not ever be a part of it. If you have legitimate debunking ability and you can say 100%, yeah, this was totally faked, then we're going to listen to you if you can come out with the actual proof of it. But to say that something in 2004, before residential drones were available, no, it's not the same thing. You can't put two things from two different time periods and say, okay, I was able to figure it out. Granted, the military has their drones. They've had them for a hell of a lot longer than since before 2004. But I think if it were a military drone, we probably would have known that. Somebody probably would have said something.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I don't know that there weren't drones, but there was probably something, but not as easily readily available and everything like they are today. You know, you can make anything look like anything if you want it bad enough. And
right.
You know,
it just cracks me up, though, that they're using 2018 technology to try to prove something from 2004. That would be like trying to, you know, you see an image of somebody from 2004 and they have a phone up to their ear and you try to say, oh, yeah, that's the brand new Samsung. No, it's not, because back then they didn't have smartphones.
Right. So that's, yeah, I mean, you know what's what from the different time periods and stuff. But
right. In all fairness, I'm not trying to stir up any of the conspiracy theory people that are all into the time traveling and that. Hey, we want to hear what you've got to say, too. There's some pretty infamous footage. I believe it was a Charlie Chaplin movie where a lady walked by in the scene and she had something up to her ear, and sure shit, it did look like a smartphone. Although I do believe that's been debunked by now.
I don't know. I've never seen it, so I'm not sure. I have heard of it, but I have not seen what all
right.
exactly was in the shot. I would find it hard to believe. And if there was a time traveler, they probably didn't go there.
I also have something I would like to pass out to people who are debunkers and know their way around Adobe products or whatever other video software you use. If you are able to debunk something, whether it's ours or someone else's, but especially if it's ours, please just email me. My email address is very simple. It's matt@alienpodcast.net. Or if you want to email paul@alienpodcast.net, you can send us an email. Say, hey, I've been able to debunk that. Here's why. If you can, send us the video. Just send us a link to the video. That's fine with us. I'm more than willing to put a link on and send people over to you so that they can check out the debunking video. I think that's exactly the route that we have to go is as far as researchers. I believe that researchers and debunkers need to start working together, because we've sort of been on each side of the fence for long enough. And I think it's time that we come together and start working together. That way we can self-weed the yard and
oh, yeah.
we can present facts to people who are not researchers but have an interest in this. And also anybody who is interested in debunking or want to know who the famous hoaxers are that are out there, you can go to ufotheater.com. Go to your website. At the very top of the navigation, you're going to see blacklist. Click on the blacklist and you're going to see a lot of people on there that they have debunked or someone else has debunked. And they are people that are known to come up with fake videos. Not saying that all of their videos are fake, but there's been at least one, I would say. And I believe he has a pretty good definition of each person, each channel on there, talking about exactly what they've been busted doing. You may have a person who has been known to repeatedly hoax in multiple videos or, you know, multiple podcasts, whatever. You may also have a person who got busted one time, but they're all on there for everybody's information. And it, to me, it's a great thing to go on there. If I see a video anymore that I think it is probably hoaxed, that's one of the first places I go now. And I check out the list and I say, hey, is the person who posted this online anywhere on that list? I've got no problem at all getting a hold of UFO Theater or getting a hold of Alien Addict, any of those guys, to say, hey, man, would you guys mind checking out this video? And that's just what I think needs to happen. I'm sure you probably feel the same way about that, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there needs to be some place where you can go to check that stuff to see if somebody's, God forbid, if they've done it once, but if they have more than enough time to do a second hoax, well, then, yeah, there needs to be some way to be able to tell person's track record, you know, whether or not they are doing it or if they're not doing it. So, but yeah, I agree with that. There should be something like that. It'd make things a lot easier if you know I've done one.
Yeah, and I would just like to say to UFO Theater, I don't know if he's ever going to hear this or not, but he's done an outstanding job. Just a kick-ass job of coming up with this list so that people can get on there and they can see, hey, this person is a known hoaxer. Maybe I shouldn't believe. Like I say, those are the things I think that we need to work towards.
Yeah, it is.
Another thing that I would, as a researcher, that I really want to start getting away from is this past stereotyping where we've called people credible witnesses. Here's the problem with that is, I mentioned it earlier with Dr. Stanton Friedman, is it's only a credible witness if you're on the right side of the coin. If you're on the ufology side, there is no such thing as a credible witness. No one is going to give you credibility. And we need to quit with the labels. We need to say, oh, well, this was witnessed by a police officer. That's the most credible person. No, I don't care who it is. Everyone is a credible witness. Until they can be proven wrong, they are a credible witness. Because nobody gives a damn. We have a witness that is in the military. Nobody gives a damn what their rank is. Nobody gives a damn that they're in the military. I hear people all the time say, well, you know, the military personnel, they're trained to look for this kind of stuff. No, they're not. They are not trained for it at all. In fact, the closest thing that you will ever come up with is, I believe it is the Air Force's firefighting manual, which has a passage in there of how to extinguish a fire on board a UFO. When they say UFO, they don't mean the same thing that we do. They mean some type of aircraft. It's an unknown aircraft of maybe an enemy or even an ally that they're developing a prototype and it crashes. And it's how to deal with that type of, you know, fire extinguishing and recovery of that craft. It's not the same UFO that you and I would be talking about.
Right. You but know, now the new Space Force may know more about it.
You know, actually, I was going to talk with you about that. Favorite clip of the week is actually from that. Yeah, let's see. Where is it? It's a short clip. Very short.
The Space Force.
I love the way Trump says that. The Space Force. It's like a little kid that just got a new toy.
He's so serious about it. And I don't know how to take it when he says all that, but that branch has been around longer than he knows. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I was thinking that is probably an upcoming episode that we should talk about. For those out there that may not have heard this, just in case you've been living under a rock or something like that, I do have the edited clip of the announcement of Space Force.
But now this announcement was made months ago.
Well, yeah.
Was just seen on the news this past week.
Right. This was his actual ordering of the Pentagon to start making preparations for the sixth branch of the military. But I'm going to go ahead and play that here now. It's about 3 minutes
All
long.
Right. America's vital interests in space lost out to special interests in Washington, except, of course, for the senators and congressmen here. They would never do it. Right, Dana? But all of that is changing. We know that. My administration is reclaiming America's heritage as the world's greatest spacefaring nation. The essence of the American character is to explore new horizons and to tame new frontiers. But our destiny beyond the Earth is not only a matter of national identity, but a matter of national security. So important for our military. So important. And people don't talk about it. When it comes to defending America, it is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must have American dominance in space. So important. Very importantly, I'm hereby directing the Department of Defense and Pentagon to immediately begin the process necessary to establish a Space Force as the sixth branch of the armed forces. That's a big statement. We are going to have the Air Force and we are going to have the Space Force, separate but equal. It is going to be something so important. General Dunford, if you would carry that assignment out, I would be very greatly honored also. Where's General Dunford? General? Got it? Let's go get it, General. But that's the importance that we give it. We're going to have the Space Force. 1 year ago, I revived the National Space Council and put exactly the right man in charge, and that's our friend, Mike Pence, feels very strongly about this. And in December, I signed a historic directive that will return Americans to the moon for the first time since 1972, if you can believe that. Always remembering, it's about that, but it's also about jobs and the economy. This is a great thing we're doing. This time, we will do more than plant our flag and leave our footprints. We will establish a long-term presence, expand our economy, and build the foundation for an eventual mission to Mars, which is actually going to happen very quickly.
Yeah, that was quite the little speech he gave. I think one of my favorite parts, though, is he lost Dunford.
Well,
where is the general?
whether it all happens right, he said it well.
Yeah, exactly.
No, for me, that sort of thing's already been around. So unless he's going to have one that's more visible to the public, okay. But the other one's been around, and it's been acknowledged by presidents in the past. So.
Right. And there again, I think that this is something that would make a good future episode for us.
You know, that and everything that's on the moon and there's stuff already on Mars. Yeah. You know, he may be telling a certain portion of the public something new, but there's some of us out there that it's not new, you know, so. However he intends it, he said it well. I'll give him that.
Yeah, that's one thing I do have to give him is.
Yeah. And good luck.
You know, when he wants to, he can give a good speech.
Yeah, so can you and I. As long as we don't have to have any teeth behind it, well.
And we can drink while doing it.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I did not have my usual hillbilly highball tonight.
No, I didn't have anything tonight either. That may change in the future, but we'll see.
Well, I think that pretty much covers everything for tonight's show.
Yeah,
do you have anything
so.
Else you want to add?
No, that pretty much sums up what, you know, pretty much what we think of you know, the hoaxes and hoaxers and morons.
Yeah. And there again, you know, there's really morons on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, there are. And it's sad that there are both sides of the fence.
Anybody that is on the other side of the fence or on the same side of the fence as us, but they too want to see the truth come out, please, please work with us on this. We're more than willing, and we would be very grateful for any help that we could get on it.
Yes. So I guess with that, we'll wrap this up and we'll be back next week.
And yes, next week we will be discussing Dr. Nikola Tesla, one of my favorite subjects.
So we will retune our microphones and attack culture.
Yeah. I would like to say something real quick to everybody who's listening to this. If you want to find out more about the show, you can visit us at alienpodcast.net. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments, please add them to the comment section of this podcast. Anytime that you do post something online with us, there's only one thing that we ask, and that's whenever you post something, please remember if you're responding to someone else, that that is a person on the other end of that. And we're not here to try to offend anybody or anything else. Everybody is adults, and we don't like to see anybody at all being attacked in our forums on the website or within the comments section.
Right.
So
if
just,
you're
going to
do that, save it for Facebook or Twitter. Save
the drama for Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
Let's just try to get to the bottom of this, and let's try to keep this moving forward, because I believe that the world does have a lot to offer us. And more importantly, I think the universe has a lot to offer us. If we can just start working together rather than trying to do everything separately, I think we would be much better off.
Much better.
See you next week, talking about Dr. Nikola Tesla.
Little extra? Introducing Target Red. Join for free and earn 1% every time you shop to redeem at Target later. Learn about more benefits at target.com/red. Some restrictions apply. 1% cannot be earned with 5% red card savings. Want to love on your community with every trip to Target? Introducing Target Red. Join for free and help direct the giving that benefits your community. Learn about more benefits at target.com/red. Some restrictions apply.